Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm always fascinated by the origins of things, origin stories. To D-Cell's great frustration, some expressions are stupid and we have to look at where they came from. Who first came up with peanut butter and chocolate, right? How did that happen? They're both amazing, but I never would have thought to put them together and they're incredible. And this happened to me the other day with Will Brinson, who's an amazingly talented NFL writer, podcaster, does it. Think about this, a daily NFL podcast that is excellent on Twitter, Will Brinson. And I agreed to be on Nick Costo's show, You Better You Bet, on BetQL, Odyssey Great Gambling Insider. And his co-host that day was Will Brinson. I love Nick. I love Will. They're both amazing, right? Just like peanut butter and chocolate. But you put them together, it was pure magic. Will, that was... Dude, that was fun. How many cappuccinos did you need to just keep up with Nick, though? Because even for me, I'm an energetic guy. I think he outpaces me by a magnitude of three or four.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's actually kind of nice because, you know, usually, Bill, with, you know, I mean, I got to host, you know, my podcast like 5 days a week from now until the end of time and eternity. And you get on there with Nick, and you know I don't have to worry about doing, you know, any of the hosting duties. He's going to carry everything, and I can kind of, you know, I mean, I'm not like check out or anything, but like, you know, he's going to go rapid fire for, you know, several minutes at a time, and I can sort of, you know, take a breather, you know, relax, think about, process some stuff. One time he did catch me checking Instagram. I was like, "What are you doing, bro?"
He did.
By and large, yeah. Yeah. He's like, you're not listening to me. He's like, I was like, yeah, sorry. I just like started getting new alerts on Instagram and it threw me off. Like, I'm not like I don't usually check Instagram frequently. And I think that was causing me not to be playing the part. Anyway, yada, yada, yada. Yes, it is impossible to keep up with Nick because he operates at such a rapid pace.
Funny side story. Hope you don't mind me sharing this, Mr. Brinson. We'll find out. I once called Will Brinson and because I like to call Will for advice. And I said, hey, man, what's, professionally, I'm asking, what's a daily podcast? Is it awesome? And I believe you made a guttural animal sound in response.
Ugh.
Yeah. The problem is it's too good. Like, if you would just, it's really good. If you wouldn't be as good at it, maybe they'd let you take some time off.
Well, you know, the issue is like, once you go daily, you can't go back. And it's not that bad during the season. I mean, you know, you're sort of responding to, Mondays, Tuesdays, Friday show, you know, are kind of built into the, you know, you're just responding and then you kind of fill in the rest and you make some picks before the weekend. It's the late May and the June and July shows when you're like, okay, like we're going to do a news and notes show to catch up on what we've missed. And you start looking at the headlines and it's like, are we going to really talk about Sam Darnold claiming he could be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL? Or like Zach Wilson beefing up, you know, the best shape of his life. Like, who isn't in the best shape of their life? Well, I mean, I'm not, but like, you know, the NFL players, who isn't in the best shape of their life at this point in time in the year?
I'm so glad you went there because my producer today pitched pretty aggressively for like the fifth day in a row some random NFL player saying like some cliched, like, I like football. We got to lead with this. And today it was Sam Darnold thinks he's the best quarterback, and I listened to it, and you know, tell me if I'm wrong, Will, because I don't do an NFL daily show. I can talk about whatever the hell I want to, right? The NBA playoffs are going on, and I do that for a living on this, you know, my other job. Who cares about Sam Darnold spewing the garbage he has to spew, right?
Yeah, I don't care at all. I mean, and look, like, not, I mean, good for Sandor. You got to do that, you know. Brady Quinn's talked about this. Like, I remember, the one I always think about is Dee Milliner, the former Jets first round pick who busted out of the league in very quick fashion. You know, came out and said, like, after his first year, which was a disaster, he's like, I'm the best cornerback in football. It's like, well, I mean, just objectively, you're not, Dee. Like, you have to realize that. Like everyone knows you are not the best cornerback in football. Like, Richard Sherman is still playing at a high level. Like, I mean, you know, there's, like, Jalen Ramsey is here as well. I don't even remember if Ramsey was even there. But the point being is, like, there's no one on the planet outside of Dee Milliner who would do a ranking of cornerbacks and rank Dee Milliner as the number one cornerback. But as Brady Quinn always points out, like, you have to be a professional athlete, you have to be sick and twisted enough in your head, or capable, or sick enough that you can twist your head into a manner that you believe you can be the best. Like, Sam Darnold can't be a professional athlete and while also thinking, I think I could be the 50th best quarterback in the NFL right now. You know, like, that's not – you can't play that position without the confidence required to do something to, like – So I mean, of course, Sam Darnold's, you know, not one of the great quarterbacks in the NFL, but, you know, he has a pedigree. Like, he can't give up on himself. Otherwise, you know, it's over. So I think that's where, like, of course, these are stupid statements to say, but that, like, what else is he going to say? Like, I think I can be the third or fourth best quarterback on the Panthers this year. You know, like what? You know, so I think that's where we get this dangerous, like, not dangerous, but, like, frivolous line of off-season trope material, you know, like this is all we've got because there's nothing else going on, and yet, you know, we should pay some attention to it because he's saying it, but we also shouldn't because it's just what he has to say in the offseason.
And it gets harder on this show because, you know, there's no NBA playoffs going on, there's no Major League Baseball, there's no soccer, right? So there's really just a dearth of things to talk about as I take a shot at my producer with Will Brinson here on the show. Will, I've been pretty mean to producers today, but accurate! All right, speaking of mean, or being mean, or at least being edgy, some competing reports out there about what is the status of the NFL owner's perspective and maybe actions on Daniel Snyder and whether he could or couldn't be voted out of the NFL. Let's just start here. Your best guess, because when you're dealing with ownership issues, it's really hard from a sourcing perspective to penetrate. If you have an owner or a couple owners, in my experience in the NBA, that you have some insight into, that is years worth. That is hard to do. Do you buy the idea? Do you think there's a realistic scenario where Daniel Snyder in the next 2 or 3 years, let's say, could be voted out of his ownership situation with the Commanders?
Yeah, and a lot of times, you know, like with the ownership stuff too, I think with the NFL, sometimes it's not even, you know, it's coming from somebody who's, quote, you know, right below 100%. The owner. Like, you know, 100%. You know, I mean, yeah, if you have a direct ownership source, you hope that rich guy lives to be 105, because that's good intel. As far as the Snyder stuff goes, like, to me, it's very telling how this is all sort of unfolded, right? When the Washington football team or the Washington Commandos or Commodores or whatever you want to call them was dealing with this, you know, these multiple workplace investigation lawsuit situations, and there's this report and they're burying the emails except for the ones from John Gruden to Bruce Allen. It's like, you know, at no point was Daniel Snyder in, like, you know, was there concern that he might be forced to sell the team, right? And you sure he had to step away from day-to-day operations, but I mean, it's just basically like a, you know, a puppet-style regime. Like, his wife was running it, but to act like he's not there, involved, or, you know, and passing along decisions is just outlandish. However, then a report comes out that the Washington football team, Commandos, Commodores, whatever you want to call them, are being, you know, have, like, basically cheated a bunch of other NFL owners out of money via, you know, fraudulent ticket pricing and whatever they did, like false reporting of the you know, the gate money, et cetera, et cetera. And then all of a sudden it's like immediately there's a Dan Snyder might be forced to sell a team, because the reality is, Bill, and it's an unfortunate reality, but we live in a lot of, you know, there's a lot of unfortunate reality that we're dealing with these days. The unfortunate reality is when you mess with an NFL owner's money, that is when you have crossed the line, right? It's not the workplace issues. You know what I mean? Sure, the, you know, the Jerry Richardson thing, they forced him to sell because they didn't, you know, they wanted to get him out of there before the full investigation came to light. And with Dan Snyder, you know, it was like the full investigation came and went. You know, it was sort of buried by the NFL, it appears, and it's going to remain that way, apparently. But once that money gets taken, Like, once the owners think you're messing with their money, then it changes everything. And so I don't think it's that crazy an idea that he would have to sell. Certainly there's been conflicting reports, but some of those conflicting reports might be coming from Washington, where they're trying to, you know, push back against the narrative that's kind of getting drummed up. It's just if the other owners find out that Dan Snyder has messed with their money and has taken money from them in a business partnership like this that the NFL operates in, it wouldn't shock me at all.
Talking to Will Brinson here on the show, Pick Six Podcast, a daily NFL podcast that Brinson does over at CBS Sports, CBSSports.com, CBS Sports HQ, at Will Brinson. Another stunning, stellar pitch topic to me. Tua is good enough to lead this Dolphins team, according to Tyreek Hill. Is this because Tyreek Hill has seen the light, or just this is what you say when you're asked about your quarterback?
Yeah, I think he's seen the light of his gigantic contract and his new team. I mean, you know, the big shining, whatever, 140, I can't remember what his contract was at this point. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, look, that's sort of another off-season trophy type of thing where, you know, you have this new star player gets traded or signs with another team. You know, going, I mean, look, he's going from Patrick Mahomes to Tua Tagovailoa. Like, to suggest that, you know, Tua is one of the great throwers in the league is pretty wild. Although, and also, how about this? Here's where we can probably effectively say that Tyreek Hill is full of it. He's going from a right-handed quarterback to a left-handed quarterback. There's no way in hell that he goes from a right-handed quarterback like Patrick Mahomes to a left-handed quarterback like Tua Tagovailoa, and it's like, man, that's just the prettiest ball I've ever seen. It looks completely different. It's literally spinning the opposite way. Like, the left-handed quarterback is going to, just like left-handed punters, like, the ball is going to look completely different to Tyreek Hill. So unless he played for a left-handed quarterback, did I miss? I mean, it's entirely possible, I suppose. But unless he's, like, been used to playing with left-handed quarterbacks and has had to suffer through Patrick Mahomes' right-handed passing for the last few years, I tend to think that it's more likely that Tyreek Hill is just propping up his young quarterback because maybe even the coaching staff has told him to do that, or it's just the obvious thing to do when you get asked about him. You don't come in and, you know, get traded to Miami. They give up all these picks. They, you know, they pay you this huge contract. You're like, well, I mean, the kid's learning. You know, he's getting there. You know, he's accurate, but he, you know, he's only in short yardage. Can't really move the ball down the field. Doesn't have a lot of velocity on his throws. He's an average starter in the league, but I'm happy to be here with him. You know, like, you can't do that. So I tend to think it's mostly Tyreek Hill providing some off-season fluff.
Will Brinson on the show. Will, the Dolphins are really interesting. I mean, there's a lot of fascinating, compelling, must-watch teams and storylines this year, and I think the Dolphins are certainly one of them. What do you think the likely win projection is for this squad, given the moves they've made and the talent they have and the speed they obviously have at the receiver position and the reality last year of how close they were to being, a pretty good football team?
Yeah, so we actually did on the pod AFC East win totals. It might even be today's show. Like, it came out this morning. At this point, I can't remember. They all kind of blur together. And we do, like, we're live on YouTube at sometime around 1 every day, too, and then the audio pod comes out the next day. So it all blurs together. But we talked about this in the last couple of days, and you can probably find it on the Pick Six Podcast YouTube feed or, you know, Spotify, Apple Pods, wherever you get your feed. I think that we were looking at the Dolphins, and it was me and Ryan Wilson. That's right. Cause Wilson had him going, he's like, they're going to go 7-10. I was like, wow, that's an outrageous take given like what they've done this off season. But you sort of look at it and there's two stretches. And maybe I hope I'm not, you know, mixing up my teams here, but I think there's like two stretches where you're like, man, this team could really start slow. And then this is just a brutal stretch to close with. You know, the AFC East is going to be tough. I think one of the Patriots or the Dolphins is going to be a fringe playoff team slash wild card contender slash, you know, maybe get in at like 10-7 or 9-8. And then the other one is going to be, oh, now we've got a bunch of questions this offseason because they went either 8-9 or 7-10. And, you know, the reality of that is that, you know, the difference between 7-10 and 10-7 is probably like three bounces of the football over the course of the season that, you know, just don't go your way, or like a field goal off an upright, an interception that's like a tip drill situation, right? Like, just it's not like the difference in those three games is not, oh, this team is trash and this team is a contender. It's really more like luck, but you know, sometimes it's just how the ball bounces, literally. And so I think that's going to be fascinating to see for Miami. You know, can they, with this new coaching staff, get Tua going? I mean, you look at the roster, and there's a ton to like defensively and offensively. I mean, if Tua is – it's really like a Tua's last stand, which is kind of unfair for him given it's his third year. But, like, if he doesn't go out there and play well, given all the things they've done this offseason, you know, you get Teron Armstead at left tackle. You bring in Tyreek Hill, Smea, this Tyreek and Jalen Waddle running short yardage crossers for Tua just to dump it in their hands and pick up yak style thing. You bring in Chase Edmonds and Raheem Mostert. You see the offensive line is better. Mike McDaniel has his guys, and both in the pass game and the run game. Like, if Tua doesn't thrive this season and the Dolphins don't, you know, have an above 500 record, I think not that there's going to be major changes in the, you know, the coaching or the GM situation, but certainly it feels like, you know, that would be maybe the last shot for Tua in Miami.
All right, Will Brinson, I have a thought. I have a thought question for you. Thought experiment. 60-second answer, because D-Cell gets really frustrated when I go long. Who has a better career from here, Trevor Lawrence or Kyler Murray?
Oh, that's a good question. I like that one. I would take Trevor Lawrence, not because I don't think Kyler Murray can have a great career. I just think that Trevor Lawrence is where Trevor Lawrence's 2021 season, has like really soured people on him to a degree that is like far. It's gone too far, in my opinion. Like, I think it's a great buy low time on Trevor Lawrence. We're still talking about an elite athlete, a guy with an incredible pedigree. He would have been the number one overall pick after his first year in college. And you know, he had one bad year with Urban Meyer, but he still made some really good throws under pressure, under duress, in a terrible offense. And now he gets a good quarterback, you know, friendly head coach in Doug Peterson. I'll take Trevor Lawrence.
Will Brinson, at Will Brinson on Twitter, the Pick Six podcast, my friend, talented dude, poker aficionado, Mr. Brinson. Dude, thanks for jumping on, buddy. As always, a lot of fun talking some football with you.
Anytime, Bill. See you, buddy.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.